Okay, this morning's it's a pretty special morning. We're finishing up with the vision series, right? So we did love, follow, and go, and we dove into love, and you know we said, what's the most important thing about love? And that's God, not only loving Him, but being able to process His love for you. Which I struggle with daily. I still can't figure out why a wretch like me, he just even cares about, you know what I mean? And then we said, you know, God says, or Jesus had told us the two most important commandments was love God and then love your neighbor. And sometimes that's difficult, isn't it? But we went through and we identified who is our neighbor for the church, and then, you know, who is our neighbor in our lives? You know, who are we the closest to? Who around us would be considered our neighbors? And then today, it's the wrap-up. It's go. All right, today we're going to look at go. I'm going to give you a bit of a disclaimer, and I don't normally do this. This message is intentionally brief. Okay? This message will be intentionally brief. And that's because we've talked about it for a few weeks, and now today after church, we're actually going to put it into motion. And to allow time so that we're not just talking heads and we're doing, you know, we're going to allow more time for the doing aspect, right? We've been built up, we've been working on it, we've been equipped, so now we're going to go and do it. So before we get into the scriptures and such, I would like to open us in prayer. Oh, Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, and as we try to process your love for us and how to show that to our neighbors, I pray you be with us. Give us discernment and wisdom. Yeah, use your Holy Spirit to teach us and equip us. Father, this morning I pray for each and every one of us in here, God, and I just would pray that we could not only feel your presence, but feel your love, and we could reflect that back to others. As we go about our days, as we go about our lives, as we interact with your people, I pray that they can see you in us. And I lift this prayer up in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, so today we're going to look at a few people that were called to go. All right, and so we're going to be in Genesis chapter 12. I will have the scriptures because I'm going to kind of go through a lot of scriptures today. And I told you it's going to be brief, so we're going to be going pretty quick through them. But I want to look at this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. This is Abram. Up until now, well, at the end of 11, we get Abram's lineage, right? But we don't really get much about who is Abram. Abram is Abraham, but this is pre-name change, so it's Abram. So we don't really know much about him. All we know about him is he's married and he is in a place, right? And then in chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "The Lord had said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.'" And that's the instruction. Leave your country, leave your people, and your father's household, and just go. I'll show you where on the way. I can't imagine that calling to that fullness. Okay, I've been called to go places that I didn't really know where I was going or why I was going there. But I can't imagine having, that's the information I get. Leave your country, leave your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. Let's look at verse 4. Jump down to 4. So Abram went. So Abram left, as the Lord had told him. My favorite part, right after the semicolon, and Lot went with him too. So he didn't go alone. He had physical people that went with him. Okay? What's awesome about God is when he sends us out and when he calls us to go, there will be people with us. Okay, you're not going to do this alone. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So at 75 years old, we're pretty planted in our lives, right? We're pretty well done. We're on the downhill. I'm teasing you guys. You got lots of life in you.
All right? But at 75 years old, you're pretty planted where you're at. You know, you got your life set up. You got the grandkids and their grandkids. And you got all kinds of just your family and your country and your community. You are set. And then God comes and says, forget it and leave.
That would be a difficult decision to go. But Abram said, he just left. He went. I don't know his thought process that went through that. I don't know the struggles. You know, I can imagine walking back into the tent and like, sorry, I can't.
You won't believe what God just said. He said we got to get out. I can't imagine that conversation. And you know, what was she saying? And then what were the workers saying? What was Lot and his wife saying? What were the conversations like?
It doesn't matter, because what we know is they went. So they worked through it together and they decided, we're doing it. We're going. I intentionally skipped two verses. We're going to look at them. I promise. I'm not going to take stuff out of context. Let's look at 2 and 3 real quick. This is after he says, I'm just going to read 1 through 3. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go into the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. There was a promise. Amen. There was a promise there. God says, leave. I need you. I need you to be this great nation. I need to make you into something for me. And by the way, your descendants will be a blessing to everyone. That's what you get out of this. That's how you get something by helping me, is what God's saying to Abram. You will get to be a blessing. Your descendants, you will be known as Abram. So they left. They left. And I would tell you that every time that God calls us to go somewhere or to do something, it's going to be uncomfortable and it's going to be worth it. I told you this, I think, last week. It'll be uncomfortable, it'll be worth it, and there will be a blessing. There will be a blessing. There will be a blessing because He is with us and He's not sending us alone. All right? So as you process through this response, I want you to think about Abram and think, wow. His faith was tested, and he did okay on that one, didn't he? I think he did all right. I think he did all right. We're going to look at a guy that didn't do okay. We're going to go to Jonah. Jonah! We're picking out Jonah. This one's a brief one. Jonah 1, 1 through 3. If you don't know the narrative about Jonah, we'll get there. But it says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of... that's really hard to say, Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish, went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went abroad and sailed to Tarshish to flee from the Lord. I couldn't get a map to show up really well, but basically what I want you to know is God said, Jonah, I need you to go this way. And when he did, he said, nope, I'm going the complete opposite direction. That's what Jonah did. He said, I'm done, I'm going this way. Some people call that repenting, right? So that's just a bad use of the word repent, because he went the wrong way. He turned and went the other way. And so I'm not going to read the entire area, but if you know, Jonah's on the ship, and then the Lord causes storms to come on the ship. And the people on the ship, they're all praying to their God. And Jonah's asleep. And they go and wake him up. They're like, you got to pray to your God. Something's happening. We don't get it. Right? And Jonah knows, I know why this happened. Throw me overboard. And they're like, huh. He said, just trust me. Throw me overboard. So they do. They throw him overboard. And then God has a big fish. Some people call it a whale. I don't know. NIV says big fish. We'll go with that. Has a big fish come, and it swallows up Jonah, and he stays in the belly for 3 days. He has some time to think about it. He has some time to reflect. Where did I go wrong? And isn't our life like that? You know, you're kind of going down, you're going, and then, boom, something happens, and you're like, I should have seen that coming.
How did I get here? I was supposed to be way over there. I know, when God said to do that and I didn't, now look at me.
For those of you that know, Jonah finally goes to Nineveh. And there's a blessing in it. Okay? The Lord God called Jonah to do something that was incredibly unpopular. He even says, go preach against it because they're wicked. How many of you all want someone to come to your door and say, hey, you're wicked, and preach to you? Yeah, everybody likes that, right? Everybody wants that to happen. Oh, good, God sent us a prophet. We're terrible. That's why Jonah wasn't all that enthusiastic, right? He knew how it was going to be received. But I can tell you that the place he was sent in Nineveh was pretty, pretty bad, okay? At this point, it was pretty, pretty bad. And I think Jonah was scared. Actually, he says so later. That the people would repent and follow God. And there would be an I told you so in there. Don't be Jonah. Don't worry about the outcome. Do your part. Okay? If it goes well, awesome. If it doesn't go well, you did your part. You were faithful. Don't get swallowed up for 3 whole days stuck when all you had to do was be faithful. What's funny about this narrative of Jonah is God was going with him. God was equipping him. God told him what to say. Was going to give him all the words. All he had to do was show up. That's all we have to do is show up. God's going to do everything through us. All we have to do is be willing, able to fulfill that call. Our calls are going to be different. Matt said, hey, I'd like to hear you sing something. That's not my calling. You can hear me say something. I'll say it for however long you want to listen, right? And some people's calling is to stand at this door right over here and say, good morning, welcome to church, I'm so glad to see you, how was your week? And just really talk to someone, not, good morning, have your bulletin, go sit down. Right? So there's a difference. There's a difference. Some people are called to that. Some people are called to work with children, and I'll pray for you, I love you. Right? Just realize when you're called to go do something for his service, your faith will be tested, but there will be a blessing in it. There will be a blessing in it. Okay? We're going to my favorite guy in the Bible, okay? We're going to look at Jesus. We're going to Luke chapter 9. We're going to spend some time in Luke 9, so you can stay there if you want. And so here's the context while you're looking. I love giving you some context. Jesus has spent a little while with his disciples. You know, it's been a year or so. People are arguing about how long. Let's just say they've been there for a while, okay? They know each other well. They're intimate with one another. Okay, he's got the 12 disciples with him. And he had just raised the child from the dead, the little girl. Remember the little girl, they said, stop crying, she's asleep. You know, and they got her up, got her something to eat, something to drink. Okay, so that's the context. You know, he's going around, he's doing miracles, he's teaching and he's preaching, and he's got his 12 with him. And then he just heals somebody. Not just like, hey, I put a Band-Aid on your finger, it'll be okay. Brought her back to life. Okay? And then he said, and then it goes to 9 verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12 together. So I assume afterwards there's a debrief, like, hey, I know you're a little weirded out, but let me just tell you what happened. So he calls them together, right? He calls all 12 together. So when Jesus had called them together, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases and sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You're one of those 12 people. You're sitting around Jesus Christ himself and he says, listen to me and listen well. You have power inside of you. You have power inside of you to do my Father's work. Now I'm going to send you out so that you can use that power. I'm not Jesus. I'm just a spokesperson for God. But I'm telling you the same thing Jesus told his 12. You have power inside of you. You have the same power that rose Jesus from the dead inside of you.
Amen.
Now God is sending you out to use it for His will and His work. He sends them out, and what's He say? Let's look at it. Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave their town as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. I want you to see a couple things. One, Jesus, when He sends them out, He says, hey, look, you got to go out and don't bring anything else with you, okay? Because he knew his 12, right? I can just see, you know, Peter's got a backpack and he's got like five different tunics, and he's making James and John carry a bunch of water and fish. He says, forget all the stuff. Put down all of your stuff and rely on me.
Amen.
Just put it down. You don't need it. Don't bring anything with you besides the power I gave you. Right? This message is completely true for us right now, as it was true a couple thousand years ago when Jesus was telling His disciples. Put down everything else that you think you might need and bring Jesus with you. Okay? He will equip you for His service. He has already given you power. We're just about to tap into it. Right? And then their response, so they went. So they set out and went from the village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. In Mark's version, and I think maybe in Matthew's version, it says that they were sent out two by two. They weren't sent out alone necessarily, right? They were two by two, and they had each other to rely on and to draw strength from. Because sometimes it feels like we're doing this alone, doesn't it? You ever feel like you're just doing life alone? Even though you might be married and have a great church family. That's you guys. Right? You're married, you got a great church family, and then you just kind of feel like, I'm walking through life alone. You're not. If you're walking through life alone, can I tell you this, and it might hurt a little bit, you're doing it on purpose. You have intentionally set yourself up that way. Because there are people right here willing to do life with you. The good, the bad, the ugly, whatever that comes with life, we are willing and able to do that with you. Do not, if you hear me say anything, do not go into the world alone.
Amen.
Do not go into the world alone. Now Herod, this is 1:7. Now Herod, the Tetrarch, heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed. Because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? He tried to go find out. He tried to go see him. It always baffles me that they think Jesus was John the Baptist reincarnate, because they were alive at the same time. But John did something, and he did something well. John's job was to go before Jesus and prepare the way. And that's exactly what he did. And that's what he's known for, being a voice in the wilderness, right? He's a voice in the wilderness calling out. So that's why everybody thought Jesus was John. They're like, wow, this guy, I've never heard anyone other than this guy doing that. And even Herod, now I would tell you that he was a little bit intimidated by the crowd that was growing, but even Herod's like, man, what is going on with this guy? I can't figure it out. I got to get my mind around it. I'm going to go try to see him. I would love for us to be that. I would love for us to be that in our community where people are like, I don't even know what's going on with those people. They are like off here on the Richter scale of Jesusness. What is going on over there? And then when they come to you, I want them to be like, oh yeah, I get it. You have that power. You are the one telling everyone about Jesus. So after Herod, and he says, I tried to see him. Look at 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with them, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. Once they were done, can you imagine? I need to pull this back. Once they were done, can you imagine what that conversation was like? You know, we all know that Peter was a little bit zealous, and you know, he's like, Jesus, you gotta hear me. Listen, this guy in that town. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? What were the stories like? What was their fire like? What did this do for their faith? Sorry. Even though there were villages that closed their gates, even though there were towns that closed their doors, What were they supposed to do? Shake it off. Shake it off. Shake the dust off your feet. That's what he told them. And let that be a testament for that village. So each and every time that we try to go out, we try to bring this message to someone new, and we're trying to be obedient, and we get a door in our face, what are we to do? Shake it off. Shake it off. Does that mean stop trying? No. I'm not going to sing the song. Everybody's looking at me like, when's he going to sing the song? I know there's a song. I'm not singing the song. But that's what you're supposed to do, is shake it off. Shake the dust off your feet. Don't let that get caked up, right? Because as you travel around, you're going to get some mud on you. You're going to get a little bit dirty. You're going to get a little bit icky. But if you let it dry, it's going to keep you from moving forward and forward and forward. So Jesus says, shake it off right now. Let that be a testament to them, not you. Okay, that's their problem, not yours. Shake it off. And finally, we're going to Matthew. Go to the left, Matthew 28. Can't preach on going without getting to this one. Matthew 28. We're going to read 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Here's the promise. And lo, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Guys, these were... You ever been with someone as they were about to pass away? If you haven't, you're lucky. But so the time I've spent with people that were about to pass away, the very last, you know, days and times, they're very, very precious. Okay? And they're very, very intimate and very, very special. And you kind of hang on every word, right? And you listen and you remember everything that they said. And a lot of people can tell you that was my dad or my mom's or my grandma's last word or dying wish or however you want to put it, right? Okay. Jesus, this is the last thing he has to say to his disciples. This is the last words that he really has to say to them. And he says, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. I've given it to you. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I can imagine they're walking along thinking, go into the nations, making disciples. Baptizing them. You know, and just kind of repeating it over and over again and thinking, wow, I don't know how to do that. I know what you're talking about. I know you sent me out and then there were 70 of us and now I'm back and I don't understand and I need you, but he's gone. I can imagine that tension that had to go on there. But we are sitting here today because they did. We are in this building today because 12 people, I just wish you could understand math, and not Common Core math, but actual math. Sorry, I hate Common Core. Anyway, I'm not a teacher, so it doesn't matter what I hate, right? Okay, 12 people were faithful to what Jesus had asked them to do. Now, 2,000 years later, miles and the whole world apart, here we are because of that. That's discipleship. See, they didn't go and make conversions as much as just going and spending time with people. Going and loving on people. Going and telling them, hey, here's this Jesus that I followed, and let me tell you what that's done for my life and how that's changed me and made me better. Oh, and by the way, you can do the same thing. Right? That's what it is to make disciples. Making disciples is making or going with people and walking along them each and every step of their life, making faithfully committed followers of Jesus Christ. And when I say making, I don't mean like, I was going to print this, but I didn't. You know, if I put 2 cups of sugar and some brown sugar and some butter and an egg and I whip it all together, I might be able to get some cookies. Okay, there's not an exact format for discipleship. I probably forgot something. I'm not a baker. Don't eat my cookies. Right? Don't eat my cookies. But anyway, listen, there's not like an exact recipe for making disciples. If there was, I guarantee the importance of that, Jesus would have said it. Go do this, then that, then this, then that. So he didn't. So now it's left to our interpretation. And the best way that I know to make disciples, the best way that I've seen it be effective, is by truly loving people, following Jesus' example, and going to where they're at and showing them that love and that grace. Showing them that love and that grace. It's incredibly hard to make disciples. It takes time. It's going to take an effort. It's definitely going to take a sacrifice. Don't be Jonah. Don't be Jonah. You know what you're supposed to do. Don't have to go through all that, okay? Learn from Jonah. If you're told, go into the nations, okay, surprise, you live in a nation. What if it said, go into your neighborhood and make disciples of Jesus Christ? Sometimes we get so missionally minded, we get so on fire for those that are unreached, and oh my goodness, that is such a need, that we miss the tree for the forest. That makes sense. We miss our neighbor who is struggling for going to Indonesia to do whatever. Both are incredibly needed and necessary and are biblical. Okay, so don't hear me say you have to do this before you can do that. We have to do both. Some of us are called to local missions. Some of us are called to global missions, okay? As a church and as a Christian, as an individual Christian, I know I am called to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything He has commanded us. And I know that as I do that, He is with me. I know He's with me. I know He's equipped me. I know He wouldn't send me somewhere that He hadn't prepared me to go, or at least pave the way. Okay? Going's going to stretch. Going's going to bend. Going's going to be the hardest. Loving, I feel like, is easy. Following is a little bit more difficult, and then going will be the hardest. They're all important. They all have to be done. Okay? All right, let's pray. Father, again, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for Your examples that You've given us, God. And I just, Lord, I pray that as we try to be obedient to Your word, as we try to go out and make disciples for You, Lord, that You would prepare those hearts for those who we need to have conversations with. That You would go before us, as John the Baptist did for You, prepare the way for us. God, I pray that You would equip us, encourage us, allow us to shake the dust off where needed, and allow us to give you all of the glory. As always, I thank you for Jesus and his example to follow, and we lift this prayer up in his name. Amen. All right, I didn't go as short as I wanted to, but you got the gist. So this morning, I'm going to have the praise team come back up. They're going to sing one more song for us. And I'm going to have the elders come up front here with me. As always, we're available to pray with you. We're available to encourage you. We're available to uplift you. We want to share in your joys. We want to share in your pains. So that's why we're up here. So if you would, stand.